Okay, final talk of the day is William Horwath, and his title of his talk is Modeling Nitrogen Use Efficiency of Forage Crops Fertilized with Liquid Manure Applied to Irrigation Water.
Thank you. All right, let's see. All right, I'm going to give a talk today on dairies in California. Dairies in California is the number one agricultural crop in California. It's bigger than fruits and nuts and wine. It is. We have the largest dairy herd in the states. We've surpassed Wisconsin now for over 5 years. The happy cows in California eat a lot of forage, and we have about 2 to 3 cows per hectare. Many times the dairies aren't that size, so they have to import a lot of the forage, and therefore it becomes a nitrogen sink. And that's one of the issues I'll be talking about today, in that there's a lot of regulation in California, and the regulation now is that the grower can, when they're growing forage, can add 1.4 times the nitrogen requirement of the crop. And so how to do that when you add both conventional and sewage type or dairy waste. California dairies are a bit different than most dairies. They're confined animal facilities. They're cleaned by flushing water through the facilities to clean them out. And then this water, we separate the water, the solids, and then the others go into a lagoon type system, which is eventually all both applied back to the field. Okay. A milk cow excretes about 0.5 kilogram of N a day, and about 2.2 kilograms of phosphate. Typical losses in a dairy can range from 40% to 70%, and total losses are in the growing season are estimated to be 125 kilograms per hectare, approximately equal to the average N applied in excess of the N removed, which is about 100 kilograms per hectare. Okay. So the objective of this study was to try to see what was happening. We know that dairies are a problem in California. The dairies are normally located on shallow, or on land with shallow groundwater. Often this groundwater contains greater than 50 ppm of nitrate N, sometimes up to 200. And so we're trying to figure out a way to help growers apply their waste in a good way to their land, and to utilize it as a fertilizer. In the past, of course, it was the application of this waste was sort of done as a waste disposal mechanism without regarding the nutrients, and now we're trying to figure out how to optimize the use of this waste. We had a lot of inputs for this model, the root zone water quality model we're using. It's managed by the USDA. We try to calibrate it and validate the model. We put a lot of these parameters into the model, and we also did gross N mineralization using N15 isotopes to try to validate the model's mineralization parameters. We tested the model using the bias and the relative mean absolute error and the modeling efficiency. The bias, of course, is the average difference between the observed and predicted values. A bias of about of zero would be perfect agreement with the model, but it could also mean that the averages of wrong and right are canceling out. A positive bias would be an underprediction by the model, for example. We're using the relative mean absolute error to account for the compensation between the predicted and the observed values. We're using that instead of the relative mean squared error because it takes account more of the large variations, which we often encounter in field work. And then the modeling efficiency, again, takes a count of the scatter in the data between the predicted and the observed value. Modeling efficiency of zero would be a, or of one would be a perfect fit. A modeling efficiency of zero would be that the model was no better than taking the average value of the observed values. And of course, less than zero would be that the model was under predicting. So we use these three parameters to try to test the model or to validate the model and see how the model was working for us. We didn't change any of the way the model functioned. We just kind of took it off the shelf and used it. So for soil moisture, over a period of a couple years, we looked at three different farms. These farms here are on sandy loam, so this is more loamy here. On these two farms, we did a pretty good job of predicting soil moisture. On this farm, we didn't do such a great job, partly because the data collection was not as good as on these two farms. But these two farms were good. And if you looked at the entire profile, it had a much better fit. But if you kind of broke down to different layers in the soil, you can see that the bias, it looks good, but it's because, again, the averaging of good and the bad made it look good. And then, but you can see the efficiency is less than one, so the model was underperforming, and then basically no better than taking the average of the observed values. Okay. But overall, for an off-the-shelf model, it wasn't too bad. For crop uptake, it did a fairly good job of both biomass production and N uptake. Slightly over-predicted biomass production and under-predicted N uptake. But basically did a fairly good job. So for we had the summer corn silage crop and then the winter forage crop, often with triticale, and then back into the next season we did another silage crop. Okay, so not too bad. Did not too good here. Let's see if this comes up. In this farm, we had some weeds that kind of ran amok, and so the model under-predicted, or over-predicted the yield in that field. But otherwise, did a fairly good job. Okay. Again, the bias was such that the model over-predicted yield and did okay with N uptake. And pretty close to one, so the model was doing a fairly good job of predicting crop biomass and N uptake. Soil mineral N, it looks kind of not too good, but it's actually not too bad. So the model was predicting pretty good on farm one, fairly good on farm two until the second silage crop, and on farm three, pretty good again in the first year, and again the corn silage crop in the second year, not so great. If you look at the parameters and the model parameters, again, the bias, depending on what level of soil you were looking at, was either over-predicting or under-predicting. Again, a lot of negative values here, so the model was not performing correctly. So soil mineral N is always going to be a problem here, or has for models, especially in these systems. And so, but overall, not too bad. Not too good. All right. So using the model parameters, and we said we validated this using an N-isotope approach, and we weren't too bad using gross N-mineralization. The model was doing a good job most of the time. And so we had generally corn grown in the summer, a winter forage, and corn grown in the summer in the following year. Here we had a farmer that grew four crops, so immediately after corn grew sedan grass, and then went into triticale in the winter, and then went into corn again. The model predicted so much mineralization from the soil at any one of these given entry points, predicted the N uptake, N leaching. Here we lost about 40% of the N, here we lost about 30% of the N, here we lost about 17% of the N in the system. We had more volatilization during the winter in this farm, here in the summer on farm two. Again, it's the application methods. I'm not quite agreeing with the model that there's no denitrification happening, but the model suggests that on a more sandy, loamy soil that denitrification is not an important process. As expected, the model has a good relationship between water applied and nitrate found at depth. And so there's a fairly good correlation with that. And so that would be expected, considering the amount of losses that we have potentially that is entering the groundwater. So the 1.4 rule is good in practice, but growers still need to have a little better handle on how to handle it. One of the problems with applying the liquid waste is that it's up to 50% organic N, and it's hard to predict when that will mineralize and become available for crop uptake. So that's always going to be a challenge. So the model did fairly well in predicting crop uptake or crop biomass accumulation and in uptake. It was able to simulate long-term trends, but wasn't so good in simulating each layer of the soil. On average, 520 kilograms of N were applied to the corn, 30% in the form of organic N, and the corn took up about 300 kilograms of N. So there's a potential of losing up to 200 kilograms of N over the two cropping seasons that we looked at it. Based on the simulation, 120 kilograms of N was leached below, or about 2 meters, so that was assumed to be lost. And losses due to denitrification didn't seem to be significant in the model. But I'd like to actually measure that before I would believe the model. So the amount of N leached then was correlated to the amount of water applied, and therefore the amount of water in excess of crop demand. So there's two ways that these growers can possibly deal with the regulations that are coming to confront them, is to do a better job at applying nutrients and to do a better job at water management as far as trying to reduce the amount of N that would eventually leach to the groundwater. Okay, so overall the model did okay for not being adjusted. So we'd like to work with Liang Wang, at Fort Collins and USDA to calibrate the model for the dairy situation. Okay, thank you. Okay.